This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
waiting in line to pay for my groceries, and a lady right in front of me farted loudly.
How about that?
I'm grabbed a magazine off the rack like this. What makes you think you can wear a mask, but you can stand there and fart?
So now, you know, instead of coughing to hide a fart, now you got a fart to hide a cough in COVID.
We knew this was backwards.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Here we go. It is. It's hour two of the RP Show, everybody. A Flame Tech Football Friday. And I thank the folks from Flame Tech that enjoyed our sponsors' appreciation night last night at Deer Valley Golf Club. We got everybody together, at least as many as could make it. A great steak and potatoes meal. And we appreciate everybody's longtime support here of the program and into the future. Hey, this has been awesome. John Frenzy's here as always. His appearance is brought to you by Wheaton Kia. We had Tori Gurley with us in hour one. Tori's tips for week six in the NFL brought to you by Wheaton Kia. It's Greg Gilbertson's birthday over there, the guy that runs the show. Steve Mazurek is here, icon in the football and business community in this country. Maz, thanks for sticking with us.
Hey, it's fun.
It is, isn't it?
This is great.
This ain't work.
Well, and, I'm with royalty here. I'm with royalty. My God.
Feels good, eh? And Jeff Reinbold coming up. Hamilton Tiger Cats special teams coordinator will be joining us from the Big Island in Hawaii for a little bit of an update on his life. Probably going to dig into week six in the NFL and his thoughts on the CFL and also CFL Island. But let's just, Jordan, let's just quick re-up on the quick six show topics, if you don't mind. Number one, Le'Veon Bell to the Kansas City Chiefs. He walks out on the worst team in the NFL and signs with the best team in the NFL. Figure that one out. Point two, week six NFL big games. That's our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. What is the game you're looking to the most in week six in the NFL? If you see the screen there, what do you got, guys? We got Arizona-Dallas. We got Green Bay-Tampa. We've got Pittsburgh-Cleveland. And we've got L.A. San Francisco, and winning in a romp, it's Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. And Fox will have it as America's Game of the Week. So you folks have zeroed in on that. Point four, a CFL return to play update. Last I've been told in the last 24 to 48 hours is the Edmonton bubble idea is off the table. But they are planning on playing in 2021. I've virtually been guaranteed of that. How many fans will be in attendance remains to be seen. Point five, Canadians, there's never been more in the NFL and NCAA. How can the CFL capitalize on that? There's got to be a way. And point six, CFL Sim, our esports league, CFL simulation tonight, Ottawa at Calgary. Nick Arbuckle's return to McMahon Stadium. We'll have the call at 7 p.m. And we jumped into this with Maz, the Football Island concept of the CFL Players Association, bringing the CFL All-Stars together, not just All-Stars to CFL players, right, Maz? Whoever wants to participate, basically. Or does it have to be the Stars? Because you were the All-Stars when you did it.
Yeah, but I wasn't a star. I was a walk-on. I was a fill-in. Oh yeah.
No, I don't believe that.
Come on,
make no bones about it.
Come on.
But hey, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I know. He never ever did. You never ever did realize how good you were.
You played an All-Star game. I saw the poster. You were an All-Star.
I played the All-Star game twice.
Right. You were an all-star.
Come on.
Now's not the time.
I was an all-star.
Now's not the time to be humble, Maz.
No, I was not a voted all-star. For the record, I was a fill-in. You have to have players that come in when others can't attend. And so it was nice that I was one of the calls that guys like Tom Forzani and George Reed, they made that call. And I said, yeah, I'm there, man. So I played, but...
You're
That's
an all-star
okay.
to me.
Me too.
I also saw the photo of Terry Bulich at your feet. He was blocking for you or something. You know the photo that I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I want to get into the viewer questions because I've been promoting them here for a while. Jeff Kozak writes in, workout at YMCA and watching your show. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you watching a few extra minutes on the treadmill as you're watching this show. One of the viewers in Toronto, Maz, wrote in and said, what stories do you have of playing at CNE, Canadian National
That's
Exhibition
Toronto, not
Park.
PNA.
CNE is Toronto. Yeah, what do you remember about that?
Well, one of my first games going to that stadium, I was fined by the club, 0.1% for being late for the bus.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops. And that was not good because I was rooming with Gord Barwell, and we were late. And thank goodness he said, pack your bags. But So P&A, it wasn't on the game, except I won player of the game there once in 74. So that was kind of
fun. Wow.
But getting a little pink slip from John Payne the day after, C&E, and it was, Maz, you've been fined, missing the bus, 0.1%. So do you know what the fine was? Do the math. 0.1%. $8.50.
Was that a lot at that time, or was that not a lot?
That near killed me, but it's laughable, and it's still posted up on my workbench. 0.1%.
That's unbelievable. But did you walk into that stadium and just go?
I guess the biggest memory on big stadiums was Montreal's big O. Like, we were there, 76, and now you're playing a regular season game before 65,000 people. And I'll always tell the story about... first pass, and your sheer depth of field is gone in that stadium when you're used to little Taylor Field. And the first pass that Ronnie threw me was through my thumbs, into my helmet, and down. And I went, oh, my God. And at that time, they had the world's first and second largest video boards. So walking back to the huddle, I watched it on the world's largest video screen. And I got to the huddle and went, oh, my God. And then I sat in the huddle, and I was facing the other way. And all of a sudden, on the world's second largest video screen, that replay over and over and over again.
You made
that
both.
I made both video screens on my first attempt. So there goes your all-star status, Matt.
A couple of people have written in and asked your thoughts of Ron Lancaster. Some wanted to know what kind of a leader was he. Was there one story that
Ronnie was a tough leader, and that's why he had such a tough time in his first year coaching. He expected so much. And so, thank goodness, I got Ronnie as a coach in my last 2 years because he was tough, because he was just a perfectionist. And you better be between his ears, you better be on his page right away. And so I think he learned a lot his first 2 years coaching, went to, Edmonton and just tore it up. But nothing but fantastic memories with Ronnie. Him choosing me to break Johnny Unitas' record was just phenomenal. We go into Winnipeg and needing 6 yards to break Johnny Unitas' record. I'm thinking, okay, we've got to get this out of the way real quick. He calls my number in the huddle. I'm going,
that can't be right.
I'm usually clearing his own. And I turn and the ball sticks me in the face mask and I'm down. And so, one of the biggest catches of my day to be Johnny Unitas. Of course, then it's been leapfrogged 1,000 times, but... Ronnie Lancaster, the all-time best.
Larry Dye in Medicine Hat's watching. He says, Steve, who was the best receiver you played with?
I would say probably Rhett Dawson, because he had a little jig in his step that was just absolutely unbelievable. And he made every route look the same. The first 12 yards were all, unless he was running a 7-yard quick something. But every route through the defensive back off, because he started everything the same way in the first 10, 12 yards. And that would throw receivers or DBs off, for fits. Yeah. The absolute best. Joey Walters, not a bad guy. I mean, I got to see that because of Anstone, but I talk to Joey all the time. So he's...
Did you and Rhett Dawson go into the Plaza of Honor Hall of Fame the same year?
No.
It was close, though. Had to have been close.
Yeah, it was close. Yeah. Yeah, but we didn't. And I'm sporting that ring. People are asking about the ring. This is not a Grey Cup ring.
It's a Hall of Fame induction ring.
It's a Hall, it's the Plaza ring, which is near and dear to my heart. So I put it on special for this show.
It's awesome. Oh, I thought you wore it every day.
No. I'm not really a ring guy.
But aren't you happy she noticed?
Like, she did notice, right? Plaza of Honor.
With the conditions out, it's a failure. Didn't happen this year. Isn't that too bad?
Yeah, another thing. Another loss, right?
Yeah.
They're telling you to speak into the Mike Lynch a little better if you can. Okay. There's a lot of questions coming in, so Lynch, you jump in anytime. Mark Westrom writes, where is Steve's visor? Seems strange to see him without it. He's talking about your summertime lid.
Yeah, my skin specialist said no more because she's had to hack away it, so I've lost 5 pounds over the last year or so because of what she's had to hack off the top of my head. So no more visors, sad, except I could wear one here, but...
Yeah, no kidding. No more sunroof. With that head of hair, you don't want to. Yeah, I get it.
Steve, what do you think of the situation in Edmonton? Unbelievable situation in Edmonton. The Eskimos are forced to change their name, which seems absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a sign of the times. It really is, and so it's you know, there are some of those names that are just, you know, on the bubble, but to a lot of people, they're offensive, and you've got to listen to that, and you've got to react to it. And I think until, you know, and I'm for that, you know, because I think, you know, until you really make a dramatic step, you know that direction, I think that's the only way you'll be able to live through the next, you know,
so you're
century.
You're for them doing it,
anyway. Yeah, you know, I am, because it's just one of those things, and you know, like I say, some of those positions are seemingly ludicrous, and they're going, oh yeah, but it's, you know, paying tribute and all this, but you know what, I think, you know, in my heart of hearts, I think that's the way it has to be, and I think that's the way we can go on to something new and something fresh.
Speaking of Edmonton, Mandy in Edmonton writes in and he says, can Steve tell us what Riders do different to be the highest earning franchise in the CFL?
You know what? I think, and this goes back to year one when Jimmy Hopson hired me to be his marketing guy, and we sat down with the guys at Phoenix Advertising, and Phoenix are a very good partner with the Rough Riders, and you know what, they came to us with always lots of advice, and I think what really resonated when we sat down a round table with our good friends, Darren, the Phoenix group, was we just have to make sure we know who the heroes are of the game, and the heroes are the fans. And so if people remember some of those corny commercials that we did and advertising we did, you know, through Phoenix, but it was always, always about the fan. It wasn't us trying to create heroes with players or coaches or all of that. It was knowing what is most consistent, and that is the fans. And so we, and my words, you honor the fan, and the fans will honor you right back. And so I think we realized that in early day, and Jim Hopson and I were blessed with the economy of the day, and blessed with a lot of good fortune of timing. But I think the one thing we did do right was to carry on that that recognition that the all important part of the CFL are the fans. Make them the heroes. And so we had a lot of fun creating some wonderful advertisements with
Be
with
a football hero.
Yeah.
It's better in the stands. Those are iconic. It's funny you say corny. That's what built the brand.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't corny. Probably seemed corny at the time.
Yeah.
But those were iconic campaigns. And the funny thing is, Mandy, so you know, 13th Man came right around that time, right?
Yeah. I stole the 13th Man from
Seahawks.
Seattle. They stole it from Texas A&M. So everybody steals stuff.
Nothing's that's original,
the,
right?
The greatest marketer in the world. I tell, you know, Darren all the time that it's those ideas you can steal and rework. So yeah, we did the 13th Man, and I think, you know, that is.
Worked out very well, too.
Yeah. And you know what? After the fiasco, after we lost that Grey Cup and the 13th Man and all that, you know, we thought, okay, maybe we should put this thing to rest. And we let the fans tell us, because we put the feelers out, what do we do with the 13th Man concept? And we got very, very few people said, trash it, it's bad luck. Everybody said, no, we are the 13th
Own it.
Man. Own it. It's on license plates. It was,
of course,
it was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
The funny thing, and for those viewers that are tuned in from across Canada, Jim Hopson, the former president, and Steve were like Batman and Robin. And I don't know which was which. You're probably Robin. but you're okay to be...
Where's Jim?
In the shadows somewhat. You know, Jim was always... He was getting the awards and everything. But he said that it was a perfect storm. The resources and the potash, oil, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Said it, and then the team got good. It was perfect.
The team got good. And what storm. I always like to say, too, is that... You know, we didn't invent the Rider Nation. The Rider Nation was always there. It was those events, that perfect storm, which really allowed us to take the best of all of that. You know, the best of the Tom Shepherds, the best of the Lynches, the best of the people who built that brand, and take it to some place where
it hadn't been. Yeah,
had never been. And you know, that was fantastic, because I, you know, my good friend, you know, Mark Habick with the Rough Riders, now still with your marketing. When we were doing those market studies and brand awareness, like, we were top three in Canada. Like, it was Montreal Canadiens, Toronto Maple Leafs, Rough Riders. You know, when you talk about the, you know, the GAC and the stuff we were selling, we were in the top 30% of NFL because a lot of NFL teams don't spend a lot of time selling merchandise. But when we get Dallas Cowboys talking to the Rough Riders about how they should best produce a numbered jersey or a named jersey that was pretty special times that you could only accomplish if you got the right people. And it's like Mark and it's like Billy and of course, the leader, Jimmy. So that was fun times, man.
Why you say that though? I'm glad you did. I was thinking of this the other day because when I think of that brand of the S, and there's fans of every team watching here right now, but it is the Bruce Cowies, the Barry Tammons, the Dan Marses, right? Yeah. That's what you're talking about. And you tweaked it a little bit and the team got good because the team wasn't always good in those years with them, right? And then it took off. But it's funny because when we started that Coyotes thing in Phoenix, you were there.
Absolutely.
And we're sitting at those meetings with the Coyotes marketing people, Lynch. Yeah. And they're like, you're the who, you're from the what? And we're like, our team outsells every other team in the league and we outsell 6 NFL teams in merchandise. And they were like, tell us more. Because they saw there was money to be made.
Yeah.
Right? And big money.
Yeah. And you know what? On that business side, it took a lot of belief from our corporate sponsors to really make it happen. And I'll never forget, Jimmy and I sat down at the table talking about the video board we need to have. We were the only organized sport team in North America that didn't have a video board. It was sickening. We knew we needed $1 million. And so, we pitched SaskTel. They said, we need $1 million. And we went, $1 million? Like our deal last year was like for $15,000. And so, no, we need $1 million. And they came to the table. So, the corporate sector in Saskatchewan embraced what we were all about and that new level of business that we were talking about. And they say, they stroked a check for $1 million, got a video board, and a few months later, all of a sudden, the good guys at Mosaic are going, there must be something here because somebody's paying some big bucks for some stuff. And so when you land those whales, and there's other whales that follow.
It came together.
Yeah.
Funny, the last one, and then I'll let Maz go, but Chris Bird is watching in Toronto, huge Argos fan. And he says, Rider fans are awesome, no doubt. But Riders as Canada's team? No way. It's the Argos. Everyone hates them. No, Chris, everybody hates the Stampeders. I think we love the Argos. But I remember this, because Maz came in when that Canada's team theme was already rolling. And I remember you saying, we just want to ease off on that. It's a little... Do you remember saying that? You're like, we're not going to put it on our schedules this year. We're not going to put it on the media.
Yeah, I think we were... that's the kind of approach you just don't want to have. And we did make a mistake when we went printing some of our paraphernalia and we had put Canada's team. And then we did a quick reversal on that saying, no, we can't say that. Others can say that.
Right.
Lynch can say that. Roddy can say that, but we can't
say that. We don't
want to
say it, yeah.
So everybody, and that's great because everybody says their team is Canada's team. And
like this guy.
That's awesome. Right.
Yeah, that's what we want.
That's what we gotta have to have.
Yeah, and I will, it's really going to suck here when we get into the playoffs. The snow starts flying and it's Grey Cup week, but there's no Grey Cup, right? Because I just remember going to Grey Cups and having fans of other teams come up to me and say, sorry, Rod, but I'm a Ticat fan. Or sorry, Rod, I'm a Lions fan. And I'm like, I'm just glad you're cheering for somebody. That's amazing. You don't have to apologize for anything.
Exactly.
But we got to all converse. We're all in this together, right?
100%.
Anything else, Maz, before we let you go?
Thanks for the opportunity. Again, sitting with royalty, this is wonderful.
There you go, friend.
Seeing some of those nice comments on the screen. Hope to do again.
John in Winnipeg. John Ohm. He says, love this guy. Maz has been an honor to listen to you today. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, John.
He's made a new friend in Winnipeg.
Love it.
Oh, and we didn't
Winnipeg,
even...
Winnipeg, I guess.
I know. Oh, well, you're a Winnipeg guy.
I live
20-some years.
Chalfont Road. I was there for over... 13 years I was in Winnipeg.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
there you
go. Winnipeg guy. Go Winnipeg. And go Jets, man.
Paul Shanks write in and says, green is the new orange. Do you want to spend 60 seconds on putting billboards up in your rivals' towns across from the stadium?
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Mr. Humility over here. Let's talk about doing that.
And we fertilize grass. Yeah. Go Riders. That was pretty good.
You got the headlines. What was your intention in doing that?
Which one?
Putting the bill, wherever, Winnipeg, Vancouver.
I'd like to take credit for all of that, but it comes from great advice, sound advice from the good people at Phoenix Group. They say, hey, what about this? Now, they had to have a good listening piece in Jim and I, But and we did. I wish I had a dollar for every minute we spent talking about all the wild and crazy and wacky things we could do. And that was one of the wild and crazy, wacky things.
And
we
it worked.
And it was, yeah, and it was fun. Because it came back in our face lots. That's okay.
But you're okay with it. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Okay. I think always think we took the high road, though, in all of those ads. It was just kind of a little bit of a punch, a little bit of a punch, but never below the belt.
Yeah. It was great. Well, hey, when they're talking about it decades later, I would suggest you did something right. It's not like dropping turkeys out of a plane on Thanksgiving, right? That doesn't work. This works. Well,
yeah, we had the worst beef with the Banjo Bowl, and of course, we didn't embrace Banjo Bowl. And we, as a matter of fact, we would get down, we would call, you know, the president of the Bombers, and we call the commissioner, says, no, the Banjo Bowl, we don't want it, we don't endorse that, and blah, blah, blah. And you know, behind the scenes, and we're going, whoa. I've been there to the pregame festivities in Winnipeg, and there are Saskatchewan fans carrying banjos. I mean, yeah, they love this stuff. Yeah. And if it allowed us to keep the Labor Day game and push a full house.
Yep. The other way, yeah.
The other way, you know, the following week, why not? But, we felt like the original comments on the Banjo Board taking a little bit of malice, but you know what? You got a short memory, get on with the thing, let's have some fun. And Rider fans have just as much fun with the banjos as the Winnipeg fans.
No kidding.
Love, yeah.
I meant it, Maz. You're an icon, a legend. I appreciate the time, and let's get this thing rolling.
Let's do it.
All-stars. All right. Right. We'll be back. Well, Jeff Reinbold coming up. It's the RP Show. Hope you're enjoying this Flame Tech Football Friday. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Maz, telling stories about Jeff Reinbold. He said, a guy that'll always remember your name. It's like you said, Lynch, before we move on to Jeff Reinbold, what you said about Maz. Remember? In the car ride on the... He was always nice to you.
Class guy. He really is a class guy.
A winner all the way.
Yeah, winner of the player and winner off the field and really great. Now, that sales job, eh? Marketing? He and
Hobson.
They Hobson were put this together.
Dynamic duo.
Greatest era in Rough Rider history. 205, 215, 213. Those guys there, they were fantastic. Well, four times in the Grey Cup. Two times a winner, eh?
Unbelievable.
Enough said right there.
Yeah. Jeff Reinbold coming up, a man who needs no introduction. And let me know, guys, when Coach R is ready from the Big Island. But a sports update. Pressure's on the Tampa Bay Rays after losing the last two games. The Rays' lead on the Houston Astros is down to 3-2 in the American League Championship Series. Game 6 of the best-of-seven series goes tonight. The Rays have ace lefty Blake Snell making the start. Framber Valdez goes for Houston. The Atlanta Braves hope to advance to the World Series for the first time since 1999 tonight. The Braves have a 3-1 lead on the Dodgers heading into Game 5 of the NLCS. Atlanta crushed LA 10-2 last night to take a commanding lead in the series. England's Tyrell Hatton has a one-stroke lead heading into the second round of the PGA Tour's CJ Cup in Las Vegas. Hatton won on the European Tour last week. Nick Taylor of Abbotsford, BC, is the top Canadian. He sits six shots off the lead after shooting one under yesterday. More COVID-19 problems for the NFL. The Indianapolis Colts closed their practice facility today. Their team says several individuals tested positive for COVID-19. The Colts say they will work remotely today. Indy is scheduled to host the Bengals on Sunday. This sports update is for the Tap Brew House and Drive-Thru Liquor Store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, the best you'll ever have with seven amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. I got to update that. It's now eight delicious flavors, Lynch, including the brand new one.
That's right.
Almond Mocha. And I thank viewer Adam Schultz for writing in that the Patriots have closed their facility now, too. What's happening with Coach Reinbold, guys? He's just logging in now. A frenzy. It's interesting because from the NFL sources we've had on this show and the guys that I've talked to this week, they say it appears chaotic and calamitous in the NFL, but it's not as chaotic as it looks. They've got plans for this. You watch the NFL Network 24 hours a day.
The plans are all changing dates. I mean, people are getting so confused on what date's playing. I mean, I was sitting there last night waiting for the Thursday night football game, dialing all over hell. Finally found out from my big boy over there, Kirby Kirsch, hey, you're wasting your time. The game's been changed for a couple of weeks. It's going to be played in a couple of weeks because of all this going on. It's a pretty sad situation. I don't know if they're going to make the season. And Goodell says they are. He's determined to get this season. And I think for his own credit more than anything else. I mean, the main thing is health, isn't it?
Maybe.
Maybe. That's right. Maybe. But it's...
In some cases, yes. But I'll say this. University sports in this country. I don't want to go too far into this topic because all of a sudden Jeff Reinbold's going to be with us and we're going to have to drop it. But I'm hearing from coaches, I'm hearing from athletes in U Sports in Canada, Canadian University Sports, where they feel it's not about health. It's they don't want to get playing and lose a bunch of money, so let's just cancel it. They were one of the first leagues to cancel it way back at the start of this, right? So in that case, it's not about health. And in the NFL, maybe it is, but the government has literally said, you guys can go play, you just need to find a way to do it. And the NFL's generally found a way to do it. Yeah. You think they're saying anything different to the university leagues or the CFL? I don't think they are.
No.
They're like, here's the protocols to follow. You figure it out. Some leagues have been able to do it. Some haven't. Yeah. But I think the NFL is playing because of money. And we've heard it enough times that that's got to be the case, John.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's sad if it is. Like they're going to have nobody in the roster in some cases. Very
well, that's,
slim roster.
College is even wilder than that.
That's right.
College football.
Yeah.
But they're playing. There's some teams have 19 guys with COVID. Yeah, so they're moving 19 more.
You're going to have a tragedy where some guy or group of guys are really sick. I hate to say this, but a couple probably die, maybe die. And then, guess what happens? The big lawsuit, eh?
Well, it won't be a player. It'll probably be a fan. But I'll say this. We've been talking about this for months. I've had health people that watch this show every day say, Rod, you don't know what you're talking about, so shut up. And I said, then tell me what I need to know then, because we've got a national TV show here. Is this affecting everybody? What do I need to know about why we can't play and what the danger is here? Because you don't really hear that. They want to know what your NFL team is, Lynch. So come up. Who's your NFL team? Do you have one?
Green Bay.
Green Bay Pack. I wasn't aware of that.
Yep.
I thought you were smarter than that, fans of America's
Green
team.
Green Bay Pack.
Sorry.
Okay.
Let's go to Hawaii now. Let's try to get him. Coach Reinbold, special teams coordinator of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Looks good to me. Coach Reinbold, howdy, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Rod. How's everything in the prairies?
It's cold. It's not what you're enjoying over there in the Big Island. How's life over there? How's the temperatures? How are things?
This morning it's about 7:30 in the morning here, and it's about 80 degrees and bright sun and wonderful, beautiful morning. As we walk, my wife and I went for a walk this morning, watched the sun come up over the Pacific, and it's beautiful.
Wouldn't you love to be in Winnipeg, Jeff?
No. Frankly, no. Although, you know, it's funny, we talk about it all the time that, you know, people are places are where the people are, and people make places. And, you know, I the year and a half I spent in Winnipeg, although we didn't win any football games, it was a lot of fun. There were really wonderful people there, and same thing in Regina and, you know, all over. So it's about the people. Hamilton, same way.
It is. And by the way, before I want to get into the football questions, but here come the questions. Gary in Winnipeg says, I remember when Jeff was introduced to the Winnipeg media, he roared in on his Harley. They still talk about it, Coach. What do you remember about that day?
You know what? It was really, it was interesting because the gentleman who hired me, Lynn Bishop, the president of the Bombers at the time, was deeply, deeply involved in trying to get airport clearance he was involved in a project with China, and eventually had to step away from his presidency with the Bombers that spring, which was really tough on us. But one of Lynn recognized was that we had to get the image of the club changed. We had to, you know, he wanted to get younger. He wanted to approach the young fans. And really we didn't have anything to sell other than that. And so in a lot of ways, all of that whole marketing campaign was because we were in such bad shape. I needed to try and inject some juice into the image of the team. And I think we did. There are a lot of things, Rod, to be honest with you, there are a lot of things we did wrong there. And I'm taking personal responsibility for that when I say me. But there were a lot of things that we did right there. The fact that so many people still talk about things and so many fans reach out, and the players that we had were fantastic guys. They were really really a really great bunch of men, and still very close, you know, still really, really close to one another and still communicate together. And, you know, you'd have thought we won two Grey Cups rather than won, you know, eight games, whatever it was. But I will make this statement. We were 3-1 against the Rough Riders in my 2 years.
Well, you know, there's a few things that come to mind when you say that. A, we tend to learn things along the way, right? And, that's the main thing right there. We all come out of these things better for it. And as you say, it is memorable. And you can't make, Steve Barato said it. The loneliest job in the world is being the head coach of a bad football team. You can't make chicken salad out of lemonade, right? Let's look. The players weren't that great there either. But Coach Reinbold, before we get to the CFL and Canadian football, because you follow the NFL so close and you cover the league for Sky Sports and you're at the Super Bowl every year, do you see the NFL getting through this year? You realize everybody's talking about that, right?
Yeah, I think you have to understand, first of all, what the NFL is. Billion-dollar industry. And it is an industry that has a unique structure. And I think it's a structure that all sports leagues really need to think about, because, you know, it's 32 of the world's biggest capitalists operating in a communistic system where every revenue is shared, all of those things. And so for them, it's very, very important that they play and finish the season. And I think it's very, very important for NFL fans everywhere that they play and finish the season. Obviously, the last 2 weeks with the COVID situation have been really difficult on the NFL. But the NFL is committed. And here's where when I worked for the NFL and we used to go to the meetings in New York and one of the things you recognize, there wasn't a lot of football guys in that building, but there were sure a lot of really smart guys in that building. And I don't think that they haven't thought about a lot of contingencies. None of this stuff has surprised them. They knew that there were going to be hiccups. They knew that there were going to be games moved. They knew that all of that was going to happen, because it's unrealistic to put 32 teams in a bubble when you've got hundreds of people that would have to go into. Everybody talks about, well, hockey did it and Major League Baseball did it, and with, you know, some hiccups also, and the NBA did it. But you're talking about very, very small groups. It wasn't the whole league. It wasn't 150 people or 200 people that you'd have to put in a bubble. And, you know, it just logistically going into a bubble was not something that they could. So they went to the next best alternative that allowed them to play the game. They would play the games. And I applaud the NFL for, you know, NFL football is such a part of the fiber of America and sports fans around the world that we needed to play the games. We needed to finish the season. And I think Mr. Goodell will do everything in his, but when I say Mr. Goodell, I'm talking about the league, will do everything in order to finish the season.
Should they start allowing crowds, do you think? Well, next year, will they have full crowds, do you think?
Well, I think it's really, you know, that it's kind of like an individual basis, you know, and one of the things that you got with America is you know, the state's riders, like, for example, Florida has completely different protocols than, you know, the state of Montana does. And, you know, I know that even though the governor of Florida said that the Dolphins could have 75,000 people in the stands, the owner of the Dolphins, Mr. Ross, said, no, we're not going to do it that way. So it's kind of on an individual basis because of what the states allow. But I think the NFL is very, very, you've seen, I don't know, John, if you've seen how how aggressive they've been in fining people who blatantly disregard masking or social distancing or all these things, you know, to the point where if the coaches mask off to address an official without their mask on, you know, they're threatening them with $100,000 fines and the loss of draft picks. Whoa. So they're not fooling around. They're not, you know, and some of that's posturing, I know, but they're not fooling around. This is, you know, it's not going to be a slap on the wrist. You know, John Gruden's paid a $100,000 fine for not wearing his mask in the first game. So, you know, I think they, you know, they're committed to do whatever it takes to make sure that this thing finishes.
To a CFL question. Well, and by the way, Jeff, you figured out the secret sauce to what the NFL doesn't have and the other major leagues is the fan interaction, because it's what we do here. We bring everybody into the discussion. Your Instagram, well, A, you play catch with kids on the road with the Ticats and warm up. There's videos of it out there. You get it. Your Instagram live stories where you sit there and answer questions from people sitting on the edge of a recliner at Super Bowl week. Like, I was trying to write you in questions. There were so many coming. You didn't see mine. Because people love it. It's so, man, it just sucks you in. No, I'm not upset about it. So, yeah, you get it. Fan interaction. The other leagues don't have that. That's what will, I think, will bring the CFL back. But one of our show topics today was there's more Canadians than ever in the NFL and NCAA. This has to be a great thing for the CFL. I don't want to catch you off guard here because I think it's a difficult question. But how can the CFL capitalize on that, do you think?
Well, I think there's a number of ways, and I've watched some of the press releases come out from the league. When Claypool went off and scored his 4-touchdown game the other day, they made a big deal out of it in on Third Down Nation and also in, you know, a CFL. CFL does a good job. Alex Singleton, when he scored his touchdown to help the Eagles win the other day, you know, again, it was released. The CFL did a release on it. I think those things are all positive things. And I think what we got to recognize as a league, and this is something that we've said for decades as coaches, is that we have to do a better job of growing in our country. And frankly, both of them has happened in Canada without the help of the Canadian Football League to a great extent. You know, because schools started to look beyond the borders for prospects, when, you know, Michigan had Biaka Batu, all of a sudden teams started, you know, and Michigan State came up to Canada and started to recruit. Well, that causes a change. Whenever there's a talent pool exposed, teams are going to take advantage of it because recruiting is so competitive. But we have, as a league, I don't think have done our part in helping to grow the game. And I'm talking about at the grassroots level, because if you watch the NFL does a great job with fan development and player development. And player development doesn't happen when a player comes to the National Football League, when he's drafted in the National. That's the individual player development. But getting more kids playing the game, getting women playing the game, flag football, all of those things, because the NFL gets it that those, the spinoff benefit to all of that is you create fans, create people who maybe flag football is only football they play because they don't want the physical part of it, but they appreciate the game. They understand the game better, grow the game in your own backyard, because fan development and player development absolutely have to go hand in hand. And you have to invest in the grassroots. You got to start with the young kids. When a guy like Claypool does what he does, that immediately sends a message to every young Canadian there, unrealistic or not, sends a message to every young Canadian, why not me? And we need to echo that message, and we need to create opportunities for a young kid to play the game. To get good coaching, in Canada has gotten diametrically better in the 30 years I've been up here, but it's still not what it needs to be on the grassroots level. Yes, it is. You take Laval or Western or you, but we're talking about at the high school level, at the junior high level. Those guys are the lifeblood of our game, and they not only supply the players, the talent pool, they also supply people will become fans of the game. And, you know, we get it. I mean, Rod, you hit it. Our league does a better job in the NFL in player interaction. Our player in the NFL guys, they have more access to the fans. Again, it's a way it's always been. But we have other part, which is the fan development, player development aspect. And I think we need to invest money in that. My personal feeling is when you're in a economic situation where money matters, invest at home first before you invest outside your home, because you need to grow your homegrown talent.
Well, you sound like Mother Teresa. She says, you want to save the world? Start with your own house. It applies.
That's true.
And it is true.
It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. You know, if you think about it, Rod, we have 9 teams in our league, right? And if we have cooperation, not competition, there's going to be competition because we're competitive guys and we're playing a competitive sport, right? We're involved in a high performance industry. It's going to be competitive, but it can never be competitive to the point where there's not cooperation, because Montreal, Toronto, BC, Saskatchewan, Edmonton, Calgary, we're all tied together. If Toronto doesn't get its stuff straightened out, Montreal continues to struggle, BC can't get 20,000 people in the stand, we all face problems. And you know, we saw it last week. So we have to get out of this provincial my think, our club, my team, and start thinking about the league thing. And that's what the NFL got a long time ago. The Cincinnati Bengals are not anywhere close to the Dallas Cowboys, but they can compete on an equal footing because there's league thing. And, you know, I it's such a great model for every pro sports organization to follow.
Oh, man, you're breaking up a little bit, but it's what you're saying is so good. I don't want to let you go, but I will. Frenzy's got to go. It's Rides here. Anything else on your mind, Coach, before we let you go?
No, I just really think Craig Dickinson's comment the other day about, hey, we'll play in the parking lot, you know, but I think that what he said speaks for every player, every coach, everybody that's involved in the CFL. We need to have a season in the spring. We need to start thinking about, if COVID doesn't go away, how are we going to do that, right? So we're not caught again. I think we all have to understand that, you know, we got to link arms and we got to fight this thing together, because that's the way that we're going to come out of it better. We'll come out of it. I don't doubt that. This league has got more lives than a cat, right? For it to come out strong, for it to come out what it's capable of becoming, then, you know, it's going to take all of us linking together and recognizing that it's not the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the Rough Riders, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, or Toronto Argonauts. It's the Canadian Football League. And we all need to stand up for our game and do what we can to make it right. And wow. Not by cutting salaries. I'm telling you,
that's not
the answer.
That is terrific.
I agree.
It's not, but I'm telling you, Pat Riley will tell you, and one of the things he wrote a great book one time about how to build a franchise. And he said, it's not by cutting salaries. You don't cut to a profit. You grow to a profit. And we have to understand that. And you keep cutting players' salaries, you're going to have less talented players in a poorer game. And you keep cutting, you're going to get coaches that want to come up and invest in our league. Fewer and fewer lifers, all that are less Gene Gaineses of the world, Ronnie Lancasters of the world, because of the fact they got their families. And, you know, they need to feel good where they work. They need to feel proud about where they work. And I'm proud of the CFL. I say that all the time. I'll be at the Super Bowl and I'll say, hey, listen, we got a great game. We got a great game. And, you know, I think everybody, all of us need to stand up for our game.
That's the fastest 20 minutes in sports. Coach, thanks. Let's do it again soon. Stay safe over there.
Jeff, you were great.
Hey, anytime, my man. Hey, Frenzy, see you later, buddy.
Give him a wave. There, give him a wave, Lynch.
Huh?
He's looking at you.
Bye-bye.
All right, Coach Reinbold checking in from the Big Island. And your Rides here?
I hope he's here.
Boy, I feel like we covered a lot of ground here.
Sure did.
Hey, take your headphones off! You're going to rip the place apart. We'll be back with Overtime in a moment. It's the RP Show on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Mics are hot, and so am I. I love this Rattlers hoodie, bunny hug. I'm not sure I'm going to wear it again. For minus 40.
Don't understand. All winter long, we're going to wear shorts and T-shirts up here.
So hot up here.
And all summer, we want to wear hoodies and long pants. It's backwards.
Woo!
But the way the building is all the AC gets pumped in here first, but all the heat rises up here in the winter. So
Think would be a good thing?
You think it would be.
But Bill Chow almost died in here, the president of the SJHL.
He did. I want to get this background done up as like a beach in Mexico or something, because it'll feel like it.
It feels like
it. We have it set. We have separate temperature controls. I set it to 68, but it pushes up some days close to 80 degrees Fahrenheit up here.
So Roxanne's watching from Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions, and she says, Rockstar hats all around. Fantastic show for the ride home today. Thanks, Rox. And again, great to see you last night on Sponsor Appreciation Night. I wanted to go over and visit with her and Darnell, but they were so ensconced in their conversation with the families of producer Clark and Jordan that I just let them be. But these guys, Jordan just said his hair went gray in that interview with Reinbold because the connection was breaking up. And it wasn't terrible. We'd had far worse than that. But I'm telling you, what Reinbold was saying was so good. You're willing to live through the little bit of the buffering. It sounds like Roxanne, they're watching on the highway on the way home back to Saskatoon. But man, did we learn a lot in that. I took so much away.
Always do with his conversations.
Yeah. Yes. And I kind of go back and forth on the Ambrosi thing. For the most part, obviously, I'm a fan. Yet, Reinbold speaks for the football guys. And he said, we can't keep hacking salaries. And we say it all the time. We see it in radio and broadcasting. They're cut, 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 cut. Down to there's nobody left. You know, you get what you pay for. And that's what he's saying about football. So we got to stop with that. And I don't think if Randy Ambrosi had his way, he wouldn't be cutting that way either. I think he's speaking on behalf of the guys that are writing the checks, for one. But Randy's still the figurehead. Two, Ambrosi has often said, we got to take our team hats off and put our league hats on. That is a direct quote from Ambrosi. It's what Reinbold just said. He just said it. So I really think Randy Ambrosi got into this job in 2017 with the best of intentions, all what we all want. But he's kind of just been pulled down the road of what the owners want.
You're right.
And lost his way. And that's not in criticism of Randy. But you do what your boss says. Sometimes to your own peril or detriment.
Momentum is a powerful, powerful thing. Mm-hmm. Right? When you're riding it downhill, I mean, there's no stopping. But when you're getting pushed backwards down the hill, it's hard to get your feet going to go up the hill again, right? And when a business is climbing, everybody's exciting. I think of like, because he's in Hawaii, it makes me think of a boat. I mean, when you're building a boat, you could have four logs strapped together with hay twine, right? And you think it's the greatest thing ever, right? But, and you build and you're excited to build. But when everything's going back the other way and you're losing money and you're losing revenue and everything else and you're cutting.
It's easy
just to survive.
Yeah.
You're not as excited to go back down to the smaller boat. You have to be able to flip your mind and understand, okay, not how do we cut back? How do we save money? But how do we build this again? How do we just, you know, gather ourselves and start to move back up again? As opposed to just trying to hang on for dear life, because that only ends with death. You just hang on as long as you can.
But here's where we are. And Carlos is watching in Indianapolis. Carlos Legena, he says, fastest 2 hours of the day from Gregory Lee. Those were some great guests today. Thanks to Clark on that. It's a Flame Tech Football Friday. And I can say this when people say there's no news in football. There's no news in the CFL. Leave that up to us. We'll handle that. And I've actually never had anybody get in my face and say, why do you like Ambrosi so much? I think because I say it, they trust what I say. But I'll give you a little example. Do you remember when the league meetings were in Banff? You're probably following the coverage. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of years ago. And I went out there and broadcast my radio show live. It was part of what put me in the ground spiritually but because I did my show, flew into Banff, well, Calgary, drove to Banff in the middle of a snowstorm, obviously in a rental car, and got up the next day, attended CFL meetings, did my show, and I'm packing up my gear, and I had a 10 o'clock flight out of Calgary the night of the meetings to go back home because I couldn't miss a day of the radio show, right? The world would stop. And I'm winding up my cords of the radio show, and Randy Ambrosi walks up to me in the lobby of the Banff Springs Hotel, and he's like, hey, you got to come down to the reception. You got to come down. And I said, no, I can't. I got a flight to catch. The roads are bad. I got to get out of here. He's like, come on. This was your idea to do this and bring the media down. You got to come down. Okay. So I go down into what really cool little German chalet, right? And we're having a great time. All the CFL Rudy Poos are, not Rudy Poos, Mucky Mucks are there. And a lot of the media. And I'm sitting right beside Ambrosi, and people are coming up, shaking Randy's hand. And they're like, Randy, this is awesome. You invited the media out here. This is awesome. We get everybody together. All the GMs are together. Ken Austin was there. Huff was there. Marcel Desjardins. And all those guys. It was perfect. And Randy's like elbowing me, sort of like, is your idea. You know what I mean? Like, he's a good guy. He's one of the guys. So something doesn't make sense that the guys wouldn't like Ambrosi because of his decisions.
Right.
Why I'm going off on this tangent, I don't have really any idea. But the thing is, if you've been watching this show for a while, you know it. If I'm in the foxhole with you, I'm in. I'm not jumping out. I'm in the foxhole with Randy Ambrosi. I don't understand how things went so awry other than what's the constant. The owners and governors, that's the one constant through all of this trouble that we've had. And I had the one guy in the league say to me last weekend, these owners are holding on like grim death, like you just said, they're holding on. And I said, why are they holding on so bad? When do you stop beating your head against the wall and just say, I'm done, I'm out? And he goes, because they all want to be Jerry Jones.
They did, do.
Didn't, or Robert Kraft, yeah. or whatever.
And nobody wants to go and admit that they've lost or admit that it's over.
At some time, you have to.
Right? At some time, you have to. But, yeah, nobody wants to put that L on the calendar or, you know, go back and admit that it's over. That's a really hard thing to do.
From our viewers, Dougal Cameron writes in and says, I'll never believe CFL 2.0 is an owner's idea. Randy owns that one. I'm not arguing with you there. I think it is. But I think let's just back up before the pandemic. Randy was trying to find a way to say, we need to think outside the borders. There's revenue outside. We need to make it work for the NBA. The thing with Randy is he's not a BSer. So when he stood on that stage at Randy's town hall and told you all, this is my vision for the CFL, he wasn't lying. Then the pandemic hit, and the fit hit the shan. And he's a convenient target for everybody right now. That's all. But when you muddle that in with what Reinbold was saying, it makes a really good point. So every kid in Vancouver is going to grow up wanting to be Chase Claypool. Well, guess what? Not everyone's going to make the Notre Dame Fighting Irish or the Pittsburgh Steelers, but at least they're playing. So they're going to go to U Sports or NCAA, and they might end up in the CFL. So overall, it's a good thing for the CFL. Overall.
Yeah. It's just hard because we're so transactional. Well, this one act that we make needs to lead to profits for our business. Not, they fail to look down the road, right? Well, if we support Chase Claypool, that's just making people buy NFL tickets tomorrow. Well, you're not trying to make a transaction for tomorrow. It's just like people who try and think that they need to monetize their social media right away, right? It's a long game. You want to spend money on social media marketing and build up your portfolio? You're not going to see the results right away. It's going to take months or years. But it will pay off, I promise you. Building your brand will pay off. Supporting Canadians, kids playing football will pay off 15, 20 years from now, but it will pay off, promise you.
Oh, of course. Well, it just reminds me of all the guys that told me when I started my website, my blog in 06, and I had all these broadcasters coming to me saying, I'm going to start a blog. When can I start to make money from it? I said, if that's why you're doing it, don't.
Yeah.
You should be doing it because you love it.
And to build your brand.
Yeah, and we were all together all the time in the CFL, and that isn't the case anymore. But when we were doing those Ryderville parties down in Phoenix. I know that other team marketing people were saying to our guys, how do you make money out of that? And the Riders are like, we don't. The Coyotes do. But we get our fans together and we make them feel important. Right? And I think, too, with this Claypool, there's something there for the BC Lions, even though Chase Claypool is a Pittsburgh Steeler. And I think it is having him endorse the BC Lions and do commercials. Hey, Vancouver, it's Chase Claypool here, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll see you this Sunday at BC Place as they take on the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Anyways, Wayne in Victoria, BC says this is one of the best shows you've ever had. So far, so good. Thanks, Wayne. Well, we want to get better every day, to use a football term. Thanks to John Frenzy, Tori Gurley, Steve Mazurek, and Jeff Reinbold. You can vote for them for the rock star of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. Tonight, we'll be right back here in this studio for Canada's Game of the Week, CFL Sim.
I might bring treats of pizza. We got to cool down.
I might not have any pizza.
Whoa.
My COVID 2025 is at Clark's. He didn't even have a donut today.
Are we ordering
salad?
You
guys got nerves of steel. Wouldn't have a donut today that was, yeah, do a salad. Okay. Mix in a salad from time to time, as they say.
Can you imagine the look on everybody's faces
you
when
show up
they
show
a
salad
and there's salad?
You'll get tarred and feathered.
Might happen.
Okay. So anyways, tonight, 7 p.m. Mountain on this very Facebook Live channel right here. The Stampeders and the Red Blacks is going to be big fun. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we will see you back Monday, 10 a.m. Mountain on Facebook Live, Game Plus Television Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.